Let's go, girls.
From New York City to Los Angeles, Powered Up with Beck and Franklin is giving women of all ages permission to live the life they've always dreamed of. Why live in black and white when you can choose the brilliance of 3D and Technicolor? Each week, Sandra Beck and Linda Franklin and their high-powered guests will be here to cheer you on, to share their challenges, their successes, and what they've learned along the way. It's all about women supporting women. The stories and practical tips on sex, beauty, money, and so much more are designed to help you reconnect to the powerful woman you are. Fabulous knows no limits. Now it's time for you to expand your boundaries. Here are Sandra Beck and Linda Franklin.
This is Sandra of Motherhood Talk Radio, and I'm here today with Dr. Ronit Lamy, and she has a very interesting program that she's developed to help us be our personal best. And I'm really excited to bring her to the airwaves today because she's interesting, she's fun, she's funny, she's like the girlfriend everybody would want, and then she's knowledgeable and a doctor to boot. So I'm really honored to bring Dr. Lamy to our show today to talk about how we can each be the best we can be. Dr. Lamy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sandra.
Thank you. It's so much fun. It's so much fun to talk about this stuff. But before we do, I'd like our listeners to learn a little bit more about you. So can you tell us a little bit about Dr. Lamy and why you do what you do?
Sure. So just a background about myself. I was born in Israel, and I moved to the United Kingdom to get my education. And since I was a kid, I've always asked questions such as, is there a God? And why do we do things the way we do? Why are people more successful than others? What is it that some people have that others may not? And which was actually not surprised that I ended up taking my higher education in the field of psychology. So as I was going through my own personal quest and growth, I have applied it in my studies and my research. And we're here today partly because one of the burning desires that I've had is to help people be successful. Successful on all levels, not just financially, but emotionally and spiritually. And that led me actually to do a PhD research, an extensive research about the subject. And, you know, that led to certain results, and that they are now being revealed in the book that I'm writing, in the programs that we are talking about. Currently, I live in the United States in California, and I work as a psychologist in private practice and with businesses, doing all kinds of things, basically fulfilling my desire to help people become more successful in whatever they desire.
Now, Dr. Lamy, it's interesting because you mentioned three countries. You mentioned Israel, England, and the United States. Do you find that success or lack of success is a human condition that transcends the different cultures? Like, do we have the same problems here in the United States as we do in England or we do in Israel in getting in the way of our own success?
Absolutely. I think each continent or each country looks at success differently, slightly. Israel follows the United States. In England and Europe is a little bit different, although everybody equates success with the achievement of money, fame, or power. But the challenges that everybody's facing to get there are similar. So it transcends culture.
So would you say you have a better understanding of global success than probably most psychologists that only practice in one country?
Well, when you refer to global success, I'm just trying to understand exactly what it means. If I have a better understanding about the mechanism of success or what makes a person more successful, yes. Global meaning what makes someone successful, usually successful, the answer is yes as well. But help me out with the word global. Why did you use that?
Well, I find it interesting. You know, many people that I have on my show, I've had a lot of psychologists. I've had, you know, people who are success coaches and gurus. And, you know, they have their own, specific mindset. But it seems to be what makes you unique and different. And I think, intensely valuable in what you're doing is you've been able to study and practice the art of developing people to be successful without regard to their limited scope of vision. You know, when you have lived and been educated in England, you were raised in Israel, you've come to the United States and lived here for a long time, it's always interesting to me that you might have different insights than somebody who was born and raised in Texas, stayed there their whole life, practiced with, you know, the culture of the Dallas business culture, you know, and I use just Texas as an example. But you've seen global success in big major national countries, and are the desires the same? Are the feelings the same? Like, are we the same as human beings with respect to success where we get in our own way?
I get it. I understand. And this is a great question because this is exactly what I said to discover in the PhD research. Exactly that. Is it something that we all share underneath our masks? Meaning once we peel off our cultural beliefs or upbringing or experiences, underneath it all, are we all the same? And the answer is yes. It's universal. There are certain elements to success. There are certain key insights that I call it in the research key insights, but in the book and the programs, I go into much more details in explaining what it means. But there are certain identifiable parameters that are universal regardless of where you are. So there is a difference, of course, if someone was raised in Texas and hasn't experienced much outside of their own community, with their way of looking or identifying success, and it may be a more limited perspective or view. But where I'm coming from is like you're saying, it's a much more global way of looking at success that really transcends the place you come from or where you were born. So what I mean by that is it doesn't matter where the person was born, the person I work with, I will apply those key principles that apply to every human being and will help them achieve success. So which means that it gives me a broader perspective and understanding, like an umbrella perspective, if it makes sense.
What? Yes, it makes perfect sense. You know, I always, you know, hear people say reasons that they're not successful. You know, you hear about, well, I didn't have education. Well, I was sick. Well, I was raised in the country. Well, I was in the city and we were poor. You know, there's a million excuses for why people are not successful. And I think it's interesting that you've come up with some commonalities, if you will, common traits, common practices that successful people do, whether you're in Israel, whether you're in the United States, whether they're in the UK. There's certain human condition principles that successful people do or have that the rest of us don't. Is that correct?
Correct. Absolutely. Right on target. Correct. So, yes. And the way the program is, or the way my work is, we are not... What I'm doing is I'm teaching people to use those principles rather than say, oh, I was born to you know, a non-wealthy family, I was limited by X, or come up with excuses. I give them the tools to overcome it and look at it from a different perspective, from the perspective that successful people look at. So what I'm helping them is I'm actually teaching them to look at life like successful people do. Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it's okay. And then what I wanted to say is that it doesn't matter where you come from. There are certain ideas, certain practices that we all share. And it doesn't matter where you come from. Of course, there are individual challenges. So for one person, it will be probably maybe a little bit more difficult or challenging to apply what I'm teaching because of where they were born. But it's not something that cannot be overcome. It may take them longer, but I can get it. And for somebody else, maybe it can be easier, you know, because of certain individual parameters that each of us bring to the table.
So what I hear you saying is that we can actually choose to be successful. We can choose to do certain things or think certain things or behave in certain ways that help us become successful. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's truly a choice. It's truly a choice. And sometimes just getting to understand and see that, it's a challenge, but that's what it boils down to.
So what would you say is the biggest reason people are not successful? Just in general, just in, you know, whether it's in life, whether it's in money, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in work, is there one universal principle that holds us all back, or are there many?
It's a simple answer, but it's complicated to fully explain it. The simple answer is the thought that we have, which I would refer to it as the belief system that we have, our perception. So that's when I work with people and I hear the conversation that successful people have versus non-successful people have, it's so clear that successful people have different thoughts that entertain their mind that help them move forward in life. And unsuccessful people have a different set of thoughts that limit them and block and is blocking them from moving forward in life. So if they really learn to identify their belief system and the thoughts that entertain their mind, they can make a difference. And you know, Sandra, each of us, most of us are not in touch with it, but we have thousands and thousands of thoughts on a daily basis. And most of them are automatic and we can't control before we go through a certain type of work or a process. And it gets us. So successful people basically have different type of thoughts than the non-successful ones. And that's the main distinguishing factor. There are other factors, but this is the main one. And if we can help somebody start thinking differently and modify their thoughts and modify their belief system, breaking that old pattern, they will start becoming more successful. And I've seen it over and over again. You know, in my PhD research, it was a statistical analysis. It wasn't a theoretical work. I have researched thousands and thousands of people, and the same thing came up over and over again. Successful people think differently than non-successful people.
Wow, I was just sitting here thinking like how to think for success. Like you could actually change your life by changing your thinking.
That's true. Absolutely.
Does this work for the different parameters that, you know, that are required for success? You know, you talk about four different domains or parameters that are required for success. What are those, and how are they affected by our thoughts?
Sandra, before I answer that, there is another point that is important for me to share, because it's just a follow-up on what we were talking about. So, and the other difference between those who achieve success and those who do not achieve success is the commitment, their commitment to breaking through. So, and their willingness to do so, and their persistency. I see unsuccessful people who come to work with me and want to become successful, for example. And I can see those who do not want to give up are thirsty for transforming their life. They'll do anything, and it doesn't matter how long it will take. They will always eventually get there. And I see the others who give up too easily, too soon, do not carry through with their commitment, do not persist. And that's another required element in order to go from one place to another, in order to move from becoming unsuccessful to being successful. And let's not forget that success is a subjective matter. So I'm not, when I talk about helping people become successful, I don't just mean financially successful people. I mean, sometimes somebody can be financially successful, but emotionally they're not. They're crippled emotionally or spiritually. So when I'm talking about success, I'm talking about it from the broader perspective of it. And I'll answer your question about what are the four domains of success. So in order to become successful people, we need to apply four domains in our life. We need to learn to be spiritually successful, emotionally successful, physically successful, and intellectually successful. And intellectually, I don't mean academically. I mean to have a healthy mind, to be emotionally healthy, to be spiritually healthy, and to be physically healthy. And I go in depth into how to develop each of those domains in our life in details in the book and in my program.
Okay, so our thoughts are intimately connected with how we perform, the choices we make, the things we do. And it's interesting, Dr. Lamy, because a famous football coach of the Miami Dolphins, who won a lot of Super Bowls, I met him at one point, and he said to me at dinner, he said, well, you know what? Successful people do things that are non-successful people don't. And he made it sound so simple, like it was like, look, if you do these certain set of things, you know, you'll be successful at varying levels. It's up to you of how successful you want to be. And if you don't do these things, then you won't be successful. So it's really kind of an either or proposition, correct?
Absolutely correct. And, you know, I can share it my own personal story. When I apply the principles, the key principles I talk about in the book and in the programs that the PhD identified that successful people use, when I really apply it in my life, I see how I move forward. I see how things happens, how it's like it's a smooth sail. But when I get in my own way and I forget that, or, you know, there's too much going on and I forget to remind myself, or I forget to apply it on a daily basis, I see challenges accumulating. It's like I'm standing in my own way. So it does work. It's truly a choice, and it's truly a way of thinking. And a way of thinking that makes, let me just think of the appropriate word, a way of thinking that leads to a way of being eventually. And then it becomes an automatic part of your being. Now, there is no end to growing and developing and achieving success. So one of the misconceptions is, oh, if I do X, Y, Z, then I'll get there. It's like there is a destination to get to. There isn't. There's always be something else because we are constantly expanding and growing, which leads me to another point I would love to share. You know, many people ask me, is more ever enough? Because part of what I do is I talk about the psychology of wealth and affluenza, and there is a lot of conversations on the planet at the moment that with the American culture, and that we are becoming a materialistic culture, and we just want, spend, and it's becoming an unhealthy and a dysfunctional way of living. So is more than ever enough? The answer is no. More will never be enough, but that's not the issue. And more will never be enough because God, by definition, is infinite. So God is constantly looking, if I can use that word, to expand itself and to experience more. So, and we are part of God. So by definition, we're looking to expand and therefore, through desiring more, we expand. The problem starts is when we lose sight of what's true. When we make wanting more our primary goal and we forget other things, when we are out of balance, this is where the dysfunction starts. But we need to remember that it's our birthright to want and desire more. We can't control it. We can't stop it. And, you know, and there's some people who call themselves spiritual try to block themselves or stop themselves from wanting more. And that's another dysfunction. It's just the other side of the same coin. Like two sides of the spectrum, which both are unhealthy. And part of the work is to help people to understand that, yes, do desire more. That's how you grow. That's how you fulfill yourself, that's how you become happier and successful, but do it with a healthy mindset where the desire for more doesn't become obsession, doesn't have a control over you, but you rather do it with grace and appreciation and gratitude. So I thought that's a very important point to bring up.
Well, it is very important. And do these things that you're talking about, do these affect us? Like if we make these type of changes or we commit to doing, you know, certain things in a different way, will this help us like spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially? Like does it work in all areas of our life or do we have to have like a separate set for each one of these?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Sandra. Can you rephrase it, please?
Yes, we were talking about, you know, you talk about the flip side of the coin. You know, there's one side and then there's the other side and, you know, equally unhealthy, you know, equally out of balance,
yes,
as you put it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm,
when you talked about, you know, some of the like if you change your belief system to follow some of these key insights, you know, to change the way we think, does that affect us? Like, I can see how it would affect us on an emotional level. You know, you would change our feelings or we change our thoughts. Sometimes we change our feelings. But how does that manifest with, like, spiritual or physical or financial? Like, when we change our thoughts, how does it relate to those four different parameters that you say are required for success?
Changing your thoughts will change everything. It will affect you physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. It's a well-known fact nowadays that our thoughts affect our body and our body affects our thoughts, and our thoughts are can be in the spiritual domain and they can be in the intellectual domain and they can be, you know, thoughts are fluid and they can that they have place in any area that we are talking about. But once you start changing your thoughts, let's start from the basics. Changing your thoughts it's not something that happens overnight. And changing your thoughts is also, it's taking place via changing your beliefs that usually comes from gaining certain type of insight. And when you've got certain type of insight, insights fall under all categories, physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional. So once you start gaining a certain different way of thinking in the world, you see changes in all areas of your life. They're all interlinked. They're not like separate domains. It's a whole package.
So I get it now. So you start by changing your thoughts, and then your actions, you know, your decisions maybe change, your wellness, your physical changes. But what about your spiritual? When you change your thoughts, how does that affect spiritual?
Yes, I'll come to that. So, you know what, let me give you a specific answer. So let's say you talk about changing your thoughts. So one of the insights that the researchers come up with is the concept of oneness. Okay? Is the concept of the fact that on a higher spiritual level, we are all one. And if we're all one and we're all connected, then it leads to, you know, looking at the world rather than being separated from another, being connected to another. And if I'm connected to another, that means that I can start thinking about helping another rather than competing or hurting another. And just entertaining this key insight and starting to work with it will lead you to many kinds of thing. For example, you may start doing more charity work, which will help you spiritually. It may help you to understand the concept of oneness and God and the connection there. And then you'll start having all kinds of spiritual thoughts and activities. It can also help you emotionally because you're going to start being perhaps less angry or upset at others and bring more love to another. So it will help you on the emotional level. Physically, your body would start being affected by the new way of thinking instead of being tense and stressed because you're holding those separation thoughts. You're starting to, you know, becoming relaxed and starting to see that, you know, I can join people rather than fight them. So your whole body is starting to feel better and be more relaxed. And on the material level, you can start, you know, looking at the world instead of how much more can I gain for myself, or let me create community projects or join others and help both of us benefit. And usually there is more blessings there. So just using this example, you can see how it's affecting just one key principle can affect your life in all four domains.
I got it. I needed to see what it looked like in each of those things.
Let me give you another example. I don't know if you know, there is a very famous research about the effect of our thoughts on an ice block. Have you heard that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't remember the name of the researcher. It's a Japanese researcher. And I talk about this in the book as well. So just to
tell me about that. Tell me about the ice
block. I'm going to share that because this is really, when you sit and think about it, it's mind-blowing. So he has, you know, 70% of our body is water, is made of water. So he wanted to find out how our thoughts can affect our body. But he didn't want to do it on human beings, so he decided to do it on blocks of ice. He took three large blocks of ice and put them in three separate rooms. And obviously controlled the condition, so each room, each ice block received the exact similar laboratory conditions. Then, so he minimizes any factor any factor other than what he wanted to examine interfering. Then he brought in people, and he spread them equally in the three rooms. So let's say he put, I don't know how many number of people in one room, the exact number of people in the second room, and the third room was left with no one. But before he started the research, he checked through a microscope, he checked to see how does the shape of the ice flake, the shape of the ice, I don't remember how is it called.
And the ice crystals? You mean the crystals?
Yes, thank you, yes. And each ice crystal looked the same glow, the same brightness, it was similar. When he started the research, he said to the first group, I would like you for X number of hours, speak negatively, curse, and just show negative emotion to the ice block. The second group, he asked from them to do the opposite. Just speak words of love, compliment each other, show positive emotion. And the third group was left with no, it's like the control room, the control group, with no, there were no people there. So after going through that process, he checked the crystal, the ice crystal, and he saw the following difference. The group that was negative and spoke positively and showed negative emotion, the crystals looked black or gray, they shrank, and they lost the brightness. The one that was with the group of people who was positive, the crystals were larger, brighter, with white. I mean, it was beautiful. It's like it looked completely different. And the third one had no change because there were no people. It like it remained the same. So my point is, if an ice block can be affected by our words and thoughts and emotions, imagine the human body and mind and spirit.
So I mean, let me get this straight. So I think you're talking about Dr. His Emoto, Dr. Masaru Emoto.
Correct.
And he's the guy that photographed ice crystals after people meditated on certain words like, you know, happiness or hate, you know, things that had really big differences. And he found that the crystals that formed in the freezing process perform differently, whether they were a negative expression or a positive expression. So if people were saying you're a fool or saying thank you or I love you, when that water was frozen from that experience, it looked completely different. And what you're saying is that if we can do this with our emotions, with ice crystals, and bodies are 98% water, what are we doing to our bodies by the thoughts we think?
But not just to our bodies, yes. By just speaking in a certain way, thinking in a certain way, and acting in a certain way, yes, we are affecting our and someone else's, not just ourselves. So we are affecting the whole human, a whole human being. And we can affect them on the emotional level, on the physical level, I think on a spiritual level, and on the mind level. So what I'm trying to say is look how the ice crystals were affected, nonetheless, human beings.
So it's really important
if we really think about it, this is unbelievable. And yet, we don't consider the way we speak and we think seriously enough.
Right, if we can change the physical...
We don't take it seriously enough.
It would be would be interesting to see if they took, you know, this guy would take a group of people and put them all, you know, successful people in one room and not successful in the other and see what the ice crystals do.
Yes, and but let's just redefine that. So when you talk about successful people, I don't want to create the impression that in order to be successful, you have to think positively only, because we can see a lot of successful people who show negative emotions because we look at the narrow definition of success. What I was looking at is the broader definition of success. Those individuals who have it all, they're emotionally balanced, they're spiritually balanced, they're physically balanced, and they're mentally balanced. There are not many on the planet, but there are. Because what's happening is that every time when people refer to success, they really look at the narrow definition of it, money. But success includes much more than that. And I'm not saying money is not great. Money is wonderful. But it's just narrowing down the scope of being a human and ignoring everything else about us. And there is so much more to us than just financial success. And we don't give it enough place or room in our lives. Don't acknowledge it enough. Overall, of course, there are exceptions to the.
So how would you define success? If you say someone is a successful person, what does that mean to you?
I would like to answer that in two ways. One way of me to define it is saying that success is something that's subjective. So first of all, we need to look at the individual and their life circumstances and their desire and the makeup or the essence of their soul and who they are to see how they define success. And to identify whether their definition of success comes from a balanced way or an imbalanced way. And then help them to look at success in a more healthier way. And the way that, and the second part of the answer is more healthier way. My perspective is to help a person achieve the success they desire within the limits of their soul. So for example, and adding to that, that I would like to expand their perception of success and to see that success is not just in the materialistic area, but also the relationship with themselves and how much they love themselves in a healthy and non-narcissistic way. To look at success and the relationship with as their relationship with others. Do they have good, healthy family relationships? Do they have good, healthy friends, support system? And then to look at their relationship with God and to see that they have a healthy relationship with God. And for that, of course, you have to believe in a creator. If you don't, it's a whole different story. But that's my definition of success. And to see that they are financially comfortable. That's how I define success.
So using your definition of success and I don't want to say theory, but I'll just say theory that we change our thoughts, then we can affect the four parameters that are required for success, the spiritual, emotional, the physical, and the financial, and keep them all in balance. That's achievable. And why is it that some people achieve it and others don't? Do we just wake up knowing this stuff? How, you know, and I'm just curious your take on, is this something that's divine and given to certain people and not to others? Like, how do some people get it and the rest of us don't?
I know. That's a million-dollar question. I've been asking the same myself. It really depends upon whether you want to look at it from the scriptures perspective or from a life experience perspective. So It's a hard question to answer, but I think there is no black and white answer to it. I think that the key, let me start by saying this. I think God meant for each of us to be successful, but God's definition of success for each of us is defined differently. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, for example, let's say that God's definition for success for Sandra is to be a mother, to be a successful career woman, and to make money and to be connected to God, because this is Sandra's destiny. That's what her soul has. That's her soul purpose. But perhaps God's definition for success for someone else is for them to learn to accept that they will not achieve enormous financial success, that maybe they will be married, but they won't have children, or they will have to adopt children. Whatever the story is, I don't know. Each person's story of success is different in the eyes of God. This is how I see it. And the key is to help each person to get in peace with what their sole purpose is. Because we can't all be the prime ministers or the president of the United States. We can't all be famous actress in Hollywood. We can't all be famous singers. Each of us has a role to play. And each of us needs to discover their intended success in the eyes of God. I don't know if I'm making sense with what I'm saying or if I'm expressing it clearly.
No, it's very clear. I think it's very interesting. Like when you said, you know, not everybody can be the president or the prime minister. Not everybody can be the most successful actor, actress. It's like success, then what I'm hearing is success is largely about finding about what your soul path or your soul purpose is, you know, what you were intended to do here or learn here or become here, that success is intimately tied with that. Because you're right, not every one of us is meant to be fabulously wealthy, and not everyone wants that.
Exactly. But some people want it and they become obsessed about it and they lose sight of their true purpose. And maybe through their true purpose, they will become fabulously wealthy. But when their goal on the or the focus is on making money only and they don't, some questions should be they should start asking themselves questions. Are they doing the right thing? Are they defining success the right way? Success for them. So maybe, you know, fulfilling your soul purpose is success. That's how we need to look at it.
Well, and I think that's really important what you talk about, you know, because we both work in arenas with a lot of successful people. And I see people who have worked their whole life, sacrificed incredible, incredible opportunities with family and friends and life, you know, for the pursuit of one overriding goal, and, you know, usually lots of money. And when they get to that goal place and they have the money, you know, more money than they ever dreamed of, it's not enough, because it's not, you know, and I've just seen it over and over, and I'm sure you have too, that whether it's the pursuit of money or the pursuit of fame or the pursuit of, you know, athletic, you know, just unbelievable athletic achievement, it's not enough.
Because they've looked at success. They've identified success in its narrow sense. And the pursuit of an achievement of whatever, all the things you've just mentioned. But our soul essence, our soul desire, is not narrowed down to the achievement of fame or wealth or power. The soul is fulfilled by love and caring and connection and other parameters. And when we do not, when we neglect them, something is missing for us. We're not happy. we are not truly successful. We are financially successful, but we're not truly successful and fulfilled in all other aspects of our being. And people forget that.
Well, I think a lot of us think that, you know, well, I will be this when I get that. I will have this when I get that. I will do this when I get that. You know, there's a lot of conditionals I see, you know, here with people that they'll be like, okay, well, I'm just going to go out and make all my money. Then I will, you know, create a family. Then I will have a relationship. Then I will. And it's very interesting to me about the order that they put the priority in for certain things. And when they get what they want, it's sometimes too late to turn around and build all the other parts of this thing when you focus on just one. Do you find that to be... Do you find that
true
as well?
Yes, absolutely. And this is exactly part of the work that we do, is that to show them that the way they think is limited, and that they are neglecting many other areas. And it's just helping them change that belief system, because they place it upon themselves. And if they have chosen to think this way without their knowing, they think it was given to them, they actually, at the subconscious level, they have chosen it. And if they have chosen it, they can undo it. The power is within. But we don't know that. This is a problem, that if you're not in the... If you do not understand the psyche, the human psyche, if you're not coming from that field, it's hard for you to do it on your own. You need somebody to give you like a light to make you be aware of your blind spots, to show you where you are sabotaging or blocking yourself, all the things that the ill-formed thinking that you are acting by. And that always requires a third party for that, because even if professional, I get caught up in my own belief system, that sometimes some of them are still I'm not identifying, and I need a third person to help me with that. We all get caught up in our own drama, in our own selves, in our emotions, and we all need help with that. I think that also, and I'm talking about something slightly different, but I think that one of the challenges that people have is to ask for help. They consider it as being weak. But I think that God created us in such a way that we kind of depend or need each other. Otherwise, He would have created a world with one human being. There's no need for so many. But part of our learning and part of what's required from us is to really seek help and help each other. And, you know, there is a research that's been done that they show that truly happy people are the ones who are able to help others and ask others for help.
Dr. Vami, we have about 2 minutes left in the show today, and my question to you is, what is the one thing you would like the listeners to take away from today's show?
Start asking questions. Start observing your thoughts. Start identifying how the way you think is creating your reality. And don't be judgmental about it. That's what I would like them to take.
Okay, well, thank you so
changing.
Much. For...
And Sandra, one more thing.
Yes.
And once they see something they don't like, they can start working with changing it and choosing to think in a more positive way.
So we're going to change. So when we think about things when we think about things and we don't like, I guess you're asking us to think about our thinking, to think about our thoughts, to stop a minute and take our temperature thinking, what am I thinking about right now? Is it helping me? Is it getting me to go where I want to go? Am I able to become the person I want to be? And if not, we have to change it.
Correct. It's hard to change it to begin with. So my advice would be to stop thinking that way, to work on, if you can't change the way you think right now, at least stop thinking the way you think. So if a thought comes to you that is not a supporting thought, it's not a thought or belief that's going to get you to where you want to go, just try to let it go and don't entertain or dwell on it. Because changing it right away is a tough process and it requires coaching, and people can get despair, get into a despair and to depression if they try to apply it on their own. So my suggestion is just start to observe, do nothing about it, and things that you thought that you don't like, keep dwelling on them, just let them go. Just don't give them power anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for Dr. Lamy for being our guest today on Motherhood Talk Radio. When we come back next week, we're going to talk to Dr. Lamy again, and we're going to talk about some different things that we can do with respect to becoming the best possible people we can be. This is Sandra Beck for Motherhood Talk Radio, and we'll see you next week.
We're so glad you joined us for Powered Up with Beck and Franklin. Sandra Beck, Los Angeles-based single mother and technology company owner, knows what it's like to be fit, funny, and fantastic in your 40s. Linda Franklin, a New Yorker with a successful marriage and prominent career, is the brains behind The Real Cougar Woman. She shares her wisdom, grace, and laugh-out-loud opinions based on her stellar successes, both in the financial world and in her personal life. Check out our website, poweredupwithbeckandfranklin.com, and join us next week for another great conversation. We're here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on toginet.com.